is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Buyout program for people in Rancho Palos Verdes in the landslide zone. Robocalls, new rules, but they're still coming through. But first, what do you say we go and get some blue Dodger donuts?
Yeah, the Dodgers just need one more win. Fans are stoked. They're going to be the champions of the world. We get more live this morning from our John Baird.
You know, L.A. fans were delirious after that big grand slam in L.A. That was incredible. And every time Freddie Freeman came up again, Dodger fans were chanting his name. And then look what happened in Game 3 in New York last night. Freddie Freeman did it again.
Schmidt to Freeman. It is a fastball. It's ripped down the line. It is gone!
And that was the call on Fox, that two-run shot, and the Dodgers were on the way to a 4-2 victory. Can you say sweep? Dodger fans are thinking that's exactly what's going to happen.
We're going to get the sweep. Yeah, I got my broom at home. I'm making sure that I get it out.
LA is on the verge of winning its second World Series in 5 years. The Dodgers won the last time back in the pandemic-shortened 2020 season. Fans have seen a lot of Western Division crowns, but they really want that World Series trophy this year.
All right, John Baird out there talking to people at Randy's Donuts. Glenn Schuck, reporter in New York City, lifelong Yankees fan. We talked to him earlier about the World Series.
I really noticed yesterday the Dodger fans coming out in big numbers. I mean, there were groups of, 100 at a time with their Dodger outfits on, coming off the subway in the Bronx and yelling and screaming and certainly making their presence known, which, again, as a baseball fan, I thought that was pretty cool. The end result, not so much.
You want to prolong this? You want it to go several more games?
Major League Baseball, I think, wants this to go longer than four games. The ratings have been huge. You know, the whole New York-LA connection, I think everyone thought this would go a little further than this, but it doesn't appear that way.
He says, you know what, for me, just go ahead and put me on my misery. Do it tonight.
Homeowners who had their gas, power, and sewer cut in Rancho Palos Verdes months ago are now being offered buyouts for their properties.
There is funding that is coming to Rancho Palos Verdes for those residents who want to voluntarily sell their property because of the damage that they've incurred with this landslide through funds from FEMA.
City manager explained how it's going to work at a meeting last night.
The city will select an appraiser, and the value of your property is going to be based on December 1st, 2022.
The FEMA grant would pay for 75% of the sale, and then the property owners would have to pay the other 25%. Under the plan, they say the land would be designated as open space then and would not be resold. But some of the landowners have said they would prefer individual relief grants to help them keep their property. Instead, the plan would cost them more money to leave.
Student at Cal State Dominguez Hills says she was attacked on campus, feels the university isn't keeping them safe. This happened over the weekend, dorm stairwell. Man pushed her down, tried to assault her. She managed to get out of there. After reporting it, student says she felt the university didn't take her seriously, and then she felt blamed for the attack. School says they're investigating. They say there's no threat to other students. Channel 4, NBC4, says the victim insists she didn't know that guy at all.
There's a new lawsuit against Sean Diddy Combs.
Combs is accused in a new lawsuit of drugging and sexually assaulting a 10-year-old boy in a New York City hotel room in 2005. A second new lawsuit accuses Combs of assaulting a 17-year-old would-be contestant on the reality TV series Making the Band. His lawyers deny the claims. They're the latest in a wave of lawsuits in which accusers say they were sexually assaulted by Combs at parties and meetings over the last two decades. Combs is now held in a New York City jail after pleading not guilty to federal sex trafficking charges. Steve Kathan, CBS News, New York.
The telemarketing calls, robocalls, they are not all illegal. It's not completely the phone company's fault you're getting them. Sounds like something the phone company would say. Here's CBS's Nancy Chen.
Nearly 4,000 phone companies have installed anti-robocall technology in the last 3 years. But the report says only 47% have fully completed those measures. Mm. Now, we reached out to the FCC, which says it's incorrect to state most providers are not complying. Many are asking for extensions, and some say they're unable to apply the blocking technology in rural areas with older infrastructure.
Political calls, robotechs, they are allowed by law. It's just a week until Election Day. Former President Trump in Allentown, Pennsylvania. There's a rally there. Vice President Kamala Harris set to give her closing argument speech from the Ellipse near the White House, near the Capitol, this evening. Live now with Democratic strategist Adrian Hemant.
Adrian, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So the site of the speech for the vice president, quite intentional, as locations tend to be. But a senior campaign official has said that her remarks will not focus on democracy or the January 6th event. If not that, then what?
You know, I think she needs to focus on motivating her voters, right? This is going to be a very close election in basically all seven of the swing states, and it's going to come down to who votes. The persuasion part of this election cycle is over, and now we're on to the turnout part of the cycle. So she needs enthusiasm for voters who will vote for her if they show up.
What motivates at this point? This was the joy campaign. It was the vibes. Then it was democracy. And then it was women's rights and women's health issues and abortion. So what motivates now?
So fundamentally, all elections are about answering the question for voters, what's in it for me if you win? And if you answer that question correctly for 50% plus one of the voters, then you win. That's what she needs to do with her speech. She needs to paint a picture for people who are inclined to support her of what do they get if she wins to motivate them to show up and make sure that she wins.
You know, everybody, depending on the swing state, the battleground state, wants something different. You're there in Michigan. What's she got to do to take Michigan?
You know, I think that a focus on economic security, on physical security in communities, you know, meaning, crime and public safety. I think talking about her plans for the border. And I also think that, some sort of focus for men who are inclined to support her would be really, really smart. This is a place where Republicans have been making a lot of gains, basically across all racial and ethnic groups, is with men. And so I think that an explicit appeal for this is what's in it for the dudes if I win could help put her over the top.
Any headway with the Arab American vote? I mean, she hasn't changed her stance on Israel and Gaza. And look, if you're there, you've seen the ads, right? They're all saying a vote for Jill Stein is a vote for Trump.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's trying to leverage that. This is, I think that there's a misconception that the Arab American and Muslim American populations in Michigan are monolithic, and that's not the case. They actually, George W. Bush got majority support from those folks in 2000, and that was not unusual. Post 9/11, they've drifted away from Republicans a little bit. But, a Yemeni American voter is very different from a Lebanese American voter, is very different from a Syrian American voter. And I think people ignore that at their peril.
Democratic strategist Adrian Heumann, 1 week to go. Thanks. More backlash over the racist jokes and comments from some speakers at the Trump rally in New York on Sunday. Nicole Killian from Atlanta, that's where Trump was last night.
His campaign faced bipartisan backlash over a slew of racist comments by conservative comedian Tony Hinchcliffe during Sunday's Garden pre-show.
There's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah. I think it's called Puerto Rico. Heck yeah, it's a cool black guy with a thing on his head. We had a Halloween party last night. We had fun. We carved watermelons together. It was awesome.
Those jokes were ad-libbed, according to a source who claimed the Trump campaign vetted other parts of the routine and cut out some profanity.
Steve Bannon has been released from prison.
He served a four-month sentence for defying a subpoena in the House investigation into the January 6 attack on the Capitol. A jury found Bannon guilty in 2022 of two counts of contempt of Congress. When he began serving his sentence in July, Bannon called himself a political prisoner and called the Justice Department corrupt.
That's CBS News correspondent Stacey Lynn.
Washington Post owner Jeff Bezos defending the newspaper's decision not to endorse a presidential candidate, says it's the right one, the principled one. Billionaire businessman, also owns Amazon, of course, wrote the note to leaders and readers last night. Non-endorsement made a lot of people angry. They've lost more than 200,000 subscribers since the decision was announced on Friday. He says this has nothing to do with business interests, his interests. He said the endorsements, they don't have a lot of impact, but they do increase the perception that the newspaper is biased. On our Countdown 2024 show, we had a famed former Washington Post editor Marty Baron on yesterday talking about how he doesn't like this decision. Also went after the LA Times for not endorsing either. So you can get that on the Odyssey app or at knxnews.com.
There's a report that a fitness app is giving away the location of world leaders, including President Biden.
An investigation by the French newspaper Le Monde found that the highly confidential movements of President Joe Biden Presidential rivals Donald Trump and Kamala Harris and other world leaders can be easily tracked online through a fitness app that their bodyguards use. Le Monde found that some Secret Service agents used the Strava app, including in recent weeks after two assassination attempts on Trump. Strava is primarily used by runners and cyclists to record their activities and share their workouts with the community. The Secret Service told the newspaper that it doesn't believe the protection it provides was in any way compromised. I'm Norman Hall.
Big debate over how much red meat we should eat. Scientists advising the government want to recommend people eat less and switch over to the plant-based proteins more, you know, beans and lentils. But the meat industry says no. Important nutrients in our stuff. Current guidelines don't specifically limit red meat, but a lot of experts believe it can raise health risks like heart disease. New recommendations aim to shift the focus to more on fruits and veggies and plant proteins. Final guidelines for those food pyramids late 2025.
A team of scientists at UC Berkeley may have developed a compound for effectively removing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. And if used on a large enough scale, they say it could help reduce global warming. Here's Pete Demetrio.
The chemical called COF999 attracts and holds only CO2 molecules on a one-to-one basis until the compound is heated and the CO2 is released and stored safely. UC Berkeley researcher Ziwei Zhou explains how COF999 would work in direct capture facilities.
We need to coat this material on a tube or design a special pellets by using this material. And those pellets or those coated material can be used, and we put it in the air, or we design a device and put it anywhere around the world. And to capture CO2 by using the device, we can just use a fan to push air directly through the material.
Researchers say they think the chemical can be used for hundreds of purifying cycles, and a series of major foundations are already providing funding to try to turn the research into a practical operation.
Got to turn those clocks again over the weekend. Hawaii and Arizona, they get out of this. They don't observe daylight saving time, but we do. Are we ever going to quit? Here's Jade Hernandez.
Falling back has never felt so good as when the alarm clock goes off an hour later than normal. I asked Stella and Valerie, who are waiting in line, about how they felt about daylight saving time ending on Sunday.
I feel like it just makes it harder to transition when the weather's already kind of gross. You know, it's really hard to transition from like weather-wise and also like scheduling and stuff.
This routine wasn't widely adopted until after World War II, so I posed this question: do we still need it? State Senator Roger Nilo.
Most people, I find, are ready to, as we call it, ditch the switch, but there is not a unanimous opinion about which switch to ditch.
Senator Nilo may sound like Dr. Seuss, but that's why he says odds of ditching are probably out of the question for now. Looks like we'll just have to keep readjusting our sleep cycles and enjoy a little more daylight in the morning. I'm Jade Hernandez, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Go to the airport, you're late, you got your bags, and then it's oversized. Now there's a fee, and you're just like, I got to get out of here. What do I do? And there arrives the therapy alpaca wearing some sort of scarf, or the mini Highland cow. And you're like, well, this is great. I'm calmer now. We're going to talk with our KNX Peter Greenberg, our travel editor, about that, and also some new refund rules. We like the sound of this. Hey, Peter.
Hi, Peter. Hey,
good morning, guys.
Yeah. So tell us about this. So we talked about this several months ago with the Department of Transportation, the refund rule. But now, like in October, it's fully in effect. So what does that mean to me as an air traveler in terms of getting a refund?
Well, the original rule, it's been on the books for a long time, dealt with cancellations. And that means that any flight that's canceled by the airline, not by you, but by the airline, you're entitled to a full and immediate refund back to your original form of purchase. That's been on the books way before the pandemic, even though the airlines weren't always volunteering that and trying to steer people to get vouchers or future flight credits. But their rights were, they were entitled to a full refund. The new rule, which just went into effect this week, actually extends the old rule and includes delays. So if your flight is delayed, there's a sliding scale of compensation you can now receive if the flight's delayed over a certain amount of time. Now, once again, there is one exemption to that, and that is weather. So anything that's under the airline's control, you're entitled to a refund if the delay is sizable. If it's weather, all bets are off.
You know what I've been seeing lately, and American is doing this, when you book something and they say, you know, if you want to cancel on us, we'll give you the flight credit, of course, like we do. But if you want to pay us extra right now, and it's always like $400 more, if you want to pay that right now, then we'll allow you, because we're so nice, to refund it back to your original form of payment. It's like an upsell at the very end.
It's an upsell dealing with fear. But the bottom line is a lot of people are doing that second fare, not the first fare, to protect themselves. If the first flight is either delayed or canceled, they now have a reservation on the second flight. And if that flight doesn't work, they simply refund that ticket.
So help me out with something. I got stuck on two planes in New York a few years ago, which the flight attendants told me on the DL that it was a crew issue, right? But the airline said it was weather. There was not a drop of rain outside. I was looking out the window. So if they say it's weather and you think it's not, is there any way to prove that?
Sure. If a crew member tells you it's a crew issue, get their first and last name and send me an email. We'll get you your money back.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
She's just going to keep you on speed dial next time she goes to the airport, Peter. Okay, I'm here. I'm in line. Help me. Tell me about the therapy animals. LAX does this. They got dogs running around sometimes. More airports are doing it now, too.
Imagine more than 80 airports in the U.S. have a small herd of therapy animals to help soothe anxious travelers. Now, there's Brody the therapy dog in Miami. There's Zelly the therapy cat in Denver. But you got to hand it to the West Coast airports to being a little bit more creative. At the San Jose Airport in California, there's Alex the Great. He's a giant Flemish hare. But my favorite, therapy llama. And at the Portland Airport in Oregon, there are two of them, Benny and Prince. And however, the winner goes to San Francisco's airport. You'll find Lilu, perhaps the very first airport therapy pig that struts from gate to gate. Good luck.
I got to ask you, Peter, because you're kind of New York and L.A., you're all over the place. Who are you rooting for, Yankees or Dodgers?
Well, you know what? I never forgave the Dodgers when they left Brooklyn, but you know what? I got to root for the Dodgers.
There we go. That's what we like to hear.
Because they're going
to
win.
Right. Choose the winner. KNX travel editor Peter Greenberg. Peter, thanks.